Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Friday, one and all, welcome in WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, filling in for Sabres Live once again this afternoon, as I'll be on for the next hour with you until 1 o'clock before Derek Kramer and Zach Jones take over the airwaves once again. Paul Hamilton will join us shortly, and then at 12:30 this afternoon, we'll also be joined by Sabres play-by-play man Dan Dunleavy, as the Sabres are back in action, continuing their three-game California road trip, taking on the Anaheim Ducks this evening in their new orange jerseys, an homage to Orange County, and also the homage to the Mighty Duck days of the franchise. As I mean, they should never have gone to the Duck Web logo, that stupid D that they had. It didn't. I get it. It looks like a duck foot. The D for ducks. I just don't care. It was a terrible look in the first place. The colors weren't exactly great with that orange and tan and black and whatever. What they have right now, yes, orange may be a bit much, but I love the look. I love the look of Wild Wing, and it is just, it's going to be nice to see tonight. It's going to be nice to see that look being a staple of Anaheim hockey once again. And right now I'm looking forward to this weekend, but I can't help. I put this out on social media. I'm looking forward to getting people's reactions. I'm looking forward to getting Paul's reaction as well. I can't help going into this weekend feeling that this is an absolute must-win weekend. I don't even want to have any sort of like the thought of, oh, well, if they get 3 out of 4, that's still a good thing, or, you know, if they win one of these games, just don't lose. But I don't want them to lose either game. I don't care if you have to get both games into overtime or a shootout. Just come away with 2 wins and have that on your record as you're fighting for a playoff spot 20 games into the season. I mean, 19 games in. Yesterday, the Sabres were sitting in the final playoff spot. Now, 19 games in, after having a night off, they're out of a wild card spot. They are 2 points out after the Bruins got a win yesterday over the Utah Hockey Club. Utah Hockey Club, it still can't get used to that. They need to have a name. It cannot be Utah Hockey Club. Aside from that, though, the Bruins getting a win, very similar to how the Sabres beat the Kings the other night, 1-0. First win as interim head coach Joe Sacco takes over for Jim Montgomery. They get a win. They're now at 21 points through 21 games. That's another good thing for the Sabres. They have 2 games in hand on the Bruins, as Boston now 9-9-3 in the standings, 21 points. But I just cannot help but feel that this game for the Sabres, or this weekend, I should say, for the Sabres, is all important for them. They should go out. They should get 2 wins. And it shouldn't even be a question, because the Ducks have been just, you know, they're like the Sabres. They're a rebuilding franchise. They're trying to get back on the winning track, but they just can't get things sorted out. Their underlying stats are all indicative that they're not really a good team. It's Lucas Dostal and net for them that has been very, very good. And then even looking ahead to Saturday, the San Jose Sharks, they're at 17 points right now through 22 games. So Sabres have 3 games in hand on the Sharks. Like, these are 2 games you absolutely should win. And in my opinion, I feel they must win. I don't know, Paul. Maybe you could call me crazy for this, but I can't help but feel that this weekend is absolutely must win. 4 out of 4 points for the Sabres, especially with the conversations that I know that you've had with Howard and Jeremy and Joe, Mike and Chris in the afternoon. It's constant where you want to go into the Thanksgiving holiday being at least 500 or even better than that in order to have a realistic chance to be able to sustain yourself to be in the playoff hunt come late March, early April. And I feel that these two games will, if you win both these games, you're guaranteed at least 500, better than 500, I should say, heading into Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the thing is, I understand what you're saying about the Ducks to a point, but you got to bottom line it, and they have the same record as the Sabres. I mean, they're both 18th in the NHL mm-hmm. at 500, as are the Boston Bruins. You know, the Sabres are 9-9-1, and the Ducks are 8-8-2. And the fact of the matter is, the Ducks have been hot lately. I mean, they've won three in a row and four out of five. So, you know, I don't think it's quite as the embarrassment to lose to them as maybe many think it is. Just like, you know, when people thought, well, you lost to the lowly Philadelphia Flyers, really? Well, the lowly Philadelphia Flyers, you know, at the time the Sabres played them were about the same place the Sabres were. And right now the Sabres have one more point than the lowly Philadelphia Flyers. So, you know, I agree the Ducks are definitely a beatable team. There's no question about that. But if they go in with the attitude that a lot of fans are talking about, they will lose to the Ducks.
Right.
Because that's been part of their problem, is they go in, it's the Ducks. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Oh, it's the Canadiens. The Canadiens are last in the league, you know.
And Paul, that's part of the point yesterday that you brought up, and I wanted to agree with you, is that I love the fact that Lindy Ruff has posted the standings inside the locker room. I know for years it's kind of been like, oh, we don't pay attention to the outside noise, and I know most of that is generated based on, like, the media. But even then, you'd hear them say, like, well, we don't pay attention to what other teams are doing. We're just solely focused on here. I think you should be paying attention to what other teams are doing around the league or what other teams are doing in your conference or in your division, because if you know that, oh, hey, we need 2 points tonight, we need a win in order to get that much closer, or, hey, we could put ourselves in a better spot. I just feel like if you're not knowing what's going on around the league, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. And the fact that Lindy Ruff has got these guys back with the standings in there, I mean, I'd love for them to do what Chris Drury did years ago with putting up, you know, pictures of the Stanley Cup back in the locker room, but I mean, that's the one thing that I think these players, when they say, well, we don't hear the outside noise or we don't pay attention to that, it's just, well, there's certain things you should pay attention to. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you know, the Sabres have only dropped one place without playing yesterday. So instead of being in the eighth and final playoff spot, they're in ninth place, 2 points behind the Bruins and 3 points behind Tampa Bay to get in the third spot in the division. But it tightened up under them. I mean, you got the Bruins with 21, you got two teams with 19, including the Sabres, and then you got four teams at 18, one at 17, and one at 16. So, you know, underneath tightened up a little bit, and they, you know, the Bruins did go by them, but they both have 500. You know what I find interesting is goal differential. There are only two teams in the Eastern Conference playoff wildcard race with a plus goal differential. The New York Rangers, who are in seventh.
Mm-hmm.
At plus 19, and the Buffalo Sabres, who are plus 1. The Boston Bruins, who are now ahead of the Buffalo Sabres, are minus 20.
It's second worst in the Eastern Conference.
Minus 20.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are 1 point behind the Sabres, are minus 26. Montreal's minus 17. Philadelphia minus 14. Detroit minus 13. So, and goal differential matters.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's Thanksgiving time, too, so a lot of these numbers we throw out there, you know, are going to change. But another fact, and unfortunately I don't remember what the percentage is, Elliot Friedman has talked about, many people have talked about it, a very high percentage of the teams in playoff position at Thanksgiving time make the playoffs. I want to say it might be in the 80s, but again, I'm going by memory. That, you know, it doesn't change all that much from what you're going to see at the end of November. So that's why people, you know, I got one wise guy on Twitter. Well, you do realize it's not even Thanksgiving, right?
Well,
well, you know what? Numbers tell us in the past teams that are in the playoff position around Thanksgiving generally make the playoffs.
Yeah, I just did a quick Google search, Paul. It's around 76.7% of the teams that are in the last 10 seasons that were in a playoff position by American Thanksgiving stayed in one of the playoff positions by the end of the season. So, yeah, if you're in a playoff spot, and the Sabres right now are in that playoff spot, if they stay there, and especially
actually, they're 2 points out of the playoffs
right now. But I'm just saying, like, within range, let's just say within range is like 4 points, two games. If they're in that range and if they get there by Thanksgiving, I mean, you're guaranteed that if you get two wins this weekend, if you get the win over Anaheim on Friday night tonight, or if you get the win over San Jose on Saturday tomorrow, you are guaranteed that heading into the Wednesday game against Minnesota, even if you lose that game against a good Minnesota team this year, you will be above the 500 mark by Thanksgiving.
I'd even venture to say take 3 out of 4 points. That means you would go out to California and take 5 out of 6.
Right.
And if we would have said before the Los Angeles game, all right, you're going to California, you're going to pick up 5 out of 6 points, I'd raise my hand. Okay, yeah. You're all set.
Yeah, I would have taken that too.
But for sure. The loser point is starting to become an issue again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was sitting there pulling up the playoff race here, and here are the Sabres with one loser point this year. One. You know, the Bruins have 3. And they're 2 points ahead of the Sabres. The Islanders, who had a lot of loser points last year, already have 5. They're tied with the Sabres at 19 points. They have 5 loser points. The Sabres have 1. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are 1 point behind the Sabres, have 4 loser points already. So this is rearing its ugly head again. They've got to learn how to – they've had 1 shootout. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had some overtime wins. But they've had the 1 shootout, and that's the thing. They have to still start getting some games, even games maybe they didn't play so well, you know, to overtime. And they've blown some opportunities this year to get games to overtime.
Yep. Yeah. And Paul, it's funny because I remember I heard Jeremy and Joe talking this morning just how bad the Islanders are. Like, you made mention that they have – 5 games that went to over 5 overtime losses this year. I think I saw it where they have 4 regulation wins in 20 games played already this year. 4 regulation wins. I mean, Pittsburgh's actually even worse. 4 regulation wins in 21 games played. Like, they're sitting right there
because they know how to get games to overtime.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be a team that is solely relied upon to go just get to overtime. But I think the Sabres, and you're very much right, they don't have that capability to be able to get there. Maybe, you know, at a point you maybe should feel a little bit of desperation to get there. And I'm sure there are desperate times, but they have to just find a way to be able to get that tying goal late or whatever, which so many teams, it seems like against the Sabres, are so good at getting that desperation game tying goal within the last 90 seconds, within the last minute, within the last 30 seconds. I mean, it happened earlier this year against Pittsburgh, where in Pittsburgh it was, what, 5-4, 6-5 or whatever, and Buffalo was feeling the pressure, but Pittsburgh found a way to get the game-tying goal and then the game-winning goal in overtime. It's just, it seems like other teams, when they play the Sabres, are so good at it, and then when the Sabres find themselves in that position, they can't find ways to get it done.
And that's their only loser point of the year. They have 2 overtime wins against Calgary and St. Louis. And trust me, Lindy Ruff is talking to his team about this.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to him. He's trying to make it important to them. He's talked – look at the second and third games of the year. That game in Czechia against the Devils, the second game that they lost 3-1.
Yep.
He has talked many times how they didn't have their game, but that's a game you got to get to overtime. It was right there to get there, and they couldn't get it to overtime. They totally outplayed the Kings, outshot them 33-23. They got goalied. But get it to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a 2-1 game, basically, and then the empty netter by Kopitar made it 3-1. Find a way to get that game to overtime and see what happens. You know, you already talked about the Penguin game. There have been others. The Columbus Blue Jacket game. Remember that one? They lost 6-4. You know, they had a lead in that game. Get it, at least get your loser point out of that. The Islander game, they lost by a goal. The Detroit Red Wing game, they lost 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game right there where your goaltender played great. That's kind of the start of when Lukanen really started playing well. And you wasted a goaltender performance because you couldn't score more than one goal and get the game to overtime. So you get the point. There have been so many opportunities to be able to get that game there and then play for the second point. You've got your 1 point. Now let's play for a second point. And they have done it once this year. And it's really, that was a game against the Penguins. They should have gotten 2 points because they allowed the Penguins to come back and get it to overtime. Then Buffalo wound up getting 1 point out of it.
Paul Hamilton, Brayton Wilson joining you here on this Friday here on WGR, filling in for Sabres Live as the Sabres get ready to face the Anaheim Ducks tonight. You can phone us up with your Sabres thoughts, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. That's our toll-free number. How are you feeling heading into this weekend? For me, I'm feeling it's a must-win weekend. You should get the 2 wins against Anaheim, against San Jose. And that's not just me, Paul, saying that, you know, solely it's because that Anaheim and San Jose are just that bad. I'm looking at it in terms of just the rest of the NHL, where the Sabres kind of sit compared to everyone else, your upcoming opponents, where you are ahead of Thanksgiving, obviously with the stat that we said earlier with, you know, teams, you know, 75% of the teams, 76 whatever, in the last 10 years in a playoff position usually are there by the end of the year. It's just so imperative, at least in my books, to be able to get the 2 wins here, and then you face Minnesota, and Minnesota has been good this year. They are currently sitting in second in the Central Division, 29 points, 13-3-3 through 19 games. You get 2 wins this weekend. You have a good matchup with the Wild. Then it's Thanksgiving. And then after that, you're looking at Vancouver, which I think is a little more beatable maybe than I would have thought earlier this year, because Vancouver right now, they're sitting outside of the playoffs at 21 points in the Western Conference wild card. Then you got the Islanders to close out the month of November on Saturday, next week Saturday. And then you head into December, and you've got a gauntlet of games. You've got the Avalanche on the 3rd, the Jets on the 5th, Utah has been pretty good on the 7th, and then you've got the Red Wings and the Rangers on the 9th and the 11th. Like, these are games that are going to be tough, but if you go into that with enough momentum, if you go in with good vibes after getting some wins before that, I think it makes it really interesting for the Sabres. It makes those games even more competitive and thrilling to a point where you get through that and you at least finish 500 after the stretch here where you could put yourself in a position. I think you're setting yourself up by Christmas to continue that playoff run, and then from there, anything really can happen at that point.
Yeah, that's the thing with the bunch they're in right now. Somebody's going to take off. The Sabres have taken off because I hear people saying, when are the Sabres going to go on their run? They are. 5-2 is a run, you know, but too many people are hung up on the two teams they lost to instead of the five teams they beat. But when you win 5 out of 7 games, that's a run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're where they are right now. They'd probably be last in the conference if they were 2-5 instead of 5-2.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Sabre teams in the last 13 years would have been 2-5 or 1-6 right now coming in. And then you're talking about, well, yeah, we're in it, but we got to leapfrog 6 or 7 teams here. And like that, like we talk about every season, we do not need to talk about it right now because it's not true. By the way, I meant to bring, don't forget, folks, Dan Dunleavy will be joining us at 12:30. Rob
yep.
Ray joined us yesterday, and it's going to be great to have both members of the Sabres broadcast team joining us. Dan will give us a different perspective than Rob will. Rob, of course, wants to talk about the burger place.
Yeah, the Heart Attack Grill.
The Heart Attack Grill,
yep.
and all the fun things. And Dan was there for the Heart Attack Grill, too, so that was fun. And so we'll see what kind of journeys they've been doing out in California and get up to date about today's game.
All right, Paul. Get you some Twitter and Blue Sky reaction to what I put out there on Twitter. Again, the question of the day is, are you kind of feeling where I'm at? Do you feel that this is a must-win weekend for the Sabres? Jeremy says, I'll call you crazy, but agree at the same time. They probably should get 2 wins. Nick says, you can't lose both of these games. I would say at least get one of them, leave at 500 and get out, and then go enjoy yourself a gravy train at the Wednesday game as well. Kevin says, I'm 50-50. I clearly want them to win for my sanity, but also think a few more losses would push Kevin Adams to make a trade quicker, but his job's probably still unsafe, unfortunately, or still safe, unfortunately, right now, which, you know, again, the whole Kevin Adams conversation, you know, I don't know how much I want to get into that.
does things at his speed.
Yes.
Whatever he feels he needs to do, he'll do. And so what's happening on the ice has nothing to do with what Kevin Adams is going to do. He's looking for a trade anyway. So he doesn't just sit back and relax and twiddle his thumbs because they've won 5 out of 7. Mm-hmm. But he also has had, you know, 2 off seasons to make the trade that they're looking for and hasn't been able to do it. So, you know, he'll get it done in his time, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
Right, as long as he's allotted that time, as long as, you know, Terry Pegula doesn't feel the need to make any sort of change to the general manager position, when Kevin Adams finds that trade that he likes, he'll pull the trigger when it comes time. But we're all kind of just sitting here and waiting at this point.
I was just sitting in there thinking, I talked about the Ducks have won 4 out of 5. The loss was to Vegas, 3-2. And I look at the wins. The Ducks beat Columbus. Sabres didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The Ducks beat Detroit. Sabres split with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Ducks beat Dallas. So did Buffalo. And the Ducks beat Chicago. And Buffalo barely did, but they did beat Chicago. So the Dallas win would be the signature win of the 4 out of 5 wins for them.
And that was honestly one of their best games of the year. That Dallas game, they just played a really solid game from start to finish. I'm looking ahead at this Ducks roster just because, Paul, I'm sure you're very well aware. They're a young roster. They're composed of some very, very good young talent under the age of, say, 23. You've got guys, obviously, like Trevor Zegras, who's a former first-round pick in 2019. Leo Carlson was the second overall pick in 2023. You got Troy Terry. You've got Cutter Gauthier, who's making an impact now at the NHL level. You know, the Ducks, they're a good group of players, but it's kind of like what the Sabres right now. They're just trying to put everything together, and there is a little bit of pressure on that organization as well. You know, they've added some pieces like Alex Killorn. They've added Ryan Strome in the past. They've even got a guy like Frank Vetrano, who kind of broke it into his own game last year and trying to build on that success. But this is a young group that's putting it all together, but it's kind of put up or shut up right now for a guy like Pat Verbeek, who's their general manager, to put up some wins in the column and put themselves in a position to be competitive, or else they might be in a situation where they find themselves making some more changes in the organization and maybe some more changes with certain players like a Zegras as well. You know, this game is probably just as important. They're probably sitting in Southern California tonight saying, hey, we've got to beat the Sabres. This is a team, you know, that hasn't been great over the years. These are the type of wins you need to have.
Yeah, they're saying the exact same thing that you and fans are saying the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We can't lose to the Buffalo Sabres. We have to beat them, type of thing. We can't lose to a team like that. And it's so similar. I mean, Terry scored, you know, a bunch of goals a couple of years ago. He's got 6, you know, and here's Zegras, who is supposed to be the next big thing. This is his second year of what's wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where have we heard that before? About some of the Sabres' good young players. A lot of people compare him to Cousins. They don't play the same way, but from a production standpoint and everything. You know, Cousins has 3 goals and 4 assists, and Zegras has 2 goals and 4 assists. You know, it's just like, what happened to this guy? You know, Vetrano only has 2 goals this year. Now, Leo Carlson is finally getting an opportunity to play, and I think doing pretty well, you know, playing regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has 6 goals in 18 games, and you got to like, just because he's so young and just getting his first full-time taste of the NHL. But there are some guys on this team where you're saying to yourself, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Just like we're saying about some of the young Sabres, what happened to them?
Real quick, Paul, before we go to break to talk to Dan Dunleavy coming up, I want to jump back over to the Sabres and ask you about the goaltending situation. Obviously, no Devin Levi, so it's going to be Luukkonen and James Reimer here going forward. What do you do about this weekend? Do you push to see if Luukkonen can go both games, knowing that you've got a few days before the game on Wednesday against Minnesota? Or do you split this? And if so, how do you split it? Do you have Reimer go tonight and then Luukkonen tomorrow, or vice versa?
No, I absolutely have Luukkonen go tonight, then I see what happens. If he has 20 shots, I would be more than tempted to go with him tomorrow. If he has 35 shots, probably not a great idea going from a night game into a late afternoon game, early evening game. It's not
late
a
afternoon
night game,
there, yeah.
Late afternoon
5
game.
O'clock Pacific.
So that's I would play Luukkonen tonight, and I would give it a wait and see.
Okay.
You know, let's see how busy he is. Let's see how he feels.
Does the injury factor into this at all, his previous little nagging injury that he was getting over, missed a few games for?
He got some good rest from it, so there's that. He seems like he's 100% now. It's not like Thompson, who's not quite 100%, and they were debating if they wanted to play him or not. It seems like he is 100% because he waited the extra time to take it up to Wednesday instead of playing on Saturday. Give it the extra game, and then you can go all the way to Wednesday. So he seems like he's 100%. Now, I'm not there with him. I'm not his doctor. But if he's 100%, I think definitely I would consider both games, just depending on how busy he is tonight.
Well, it'll be a 10 o'clock face-off tonight here on WGR with the Steve Foley Law pregame show taking place at 9 o'clock. Paul, I'm assuming that you will be a part of that pregame coverage with Brian Koziel as well, right?
Yes.
Very
yes.
good. Excellent.
Who knows? We may even hear a Rob Ray interview or a Dan Dunleavy interview or both.
Yeah.
We may hear both in pregame if you happen to miss it here.
No, depending on how good Dan is, right? Depending on how good Dan. Rob was good. I mean, if Dan blows Rob out of the water,
if Dan's
then
listening right now, he may not answer his phone. You know, he probably, you know, doesn't like this little lead up you have going for
We're putting the pressure on him. That's all it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We know Dan. We love Dan. All right. Oh, we'll step aside. Dan Dunleavy, Sabres play-by-play man, coming up next as the Sabres get ready to face the Anaheim Ducks tonight again at 10 o'clock face-off here on WGR. Pre-game coverage at 9. And we'll step aside and talk to the Sabres broadcaster next here on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UGR.
And have rejuvenated as a team. Talking to a lot of guys in the room, they like their mix. They like that everybody knows their identity and what they have to do to be successful as a team. So for Edmonton, oh, a squibber!
Yeah, I happened to see that last night. Paul, did you see what happened on that play that Evan just played?
Yeah.
Yeah, that poor Marc-Andre Fleury. He's had some memorable flubs over the years. It goes back to his days playing in juniors. And this is his last year. Hopefully for his sake, that's his last memorable flub he has. But, man, he's had some memorable ones over the years. I mean, that one was 27 seconds into the game, too, by the way. The puck takes a bounce right before he's about to kind of sweep it away and goes right through the five hole and in.
I remember seeing a highlight way, way, way back from a Stanley Cup. It might have been the last game of the series between the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks. And back then, I guess Tony Esposito was like a fantastic goaltender for the Blackhawks. And Jacques Lemaire beat him from the red line with a slap shot.
Mm. Yeah, we've seen a few of those over the years.
The Hawks lost that game by a goal.
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup Finals. And it was just like, how does that get in on a goaltender that good?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goal came from, it was courtesy of Leon Draisaitl, and it appeared that he scored that from his own blue line. It looked like he was trying to make a play to center. It went off maybe a wild defender, and the puck was kind of like on edge, and then it hit, you know, maybe a wet spot or something, took a weird redirect and went in the net. Some weird, weird goals that have been scored this year already over the years. I feel this is a good way to bring in Dan Dunleavy. Let's go to the Western Hotline right now. Sabres play-by-play man Dan Dunleavy joining us. Dan, what is the weirdest goal that you've called in the NHL or just seen of any hockey game in your time watching?
I feel honored. I feel, I don't know what the word is, guys, but as soon as you bring out the word weird, you bring me on your show. So that's great. Yeah. Love it. Good stuff. I'll talk to you tomorrow. No, listen, that's it. It's good to be weird, folks. You got one life to live. Be freaking weird. Go for it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The weirdest goal that I don't know, Paul knows me better than a lot of folks. I don't really bank that stuff in my brain, so I might think of one later in the day, but right now a weird one,
that's why I am, because Jeremy springs this stuff on me, and like I try to think of something by the time I'm done with the segment. I usually think of something 2 hours later and then I text him. I remember this.
I'm pretty sure RJ called the butt goal.
Yep, that was the Mark Pezek overtime winner against Arizona.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was in the building for that. Does that count?
Yeah, sure, that counts.
But, you know, I called it to myself down on the glass while Rick was doing the game. But, no, I don't remember one off the top, but I'm sure there's been quite a few, to be honest.
Over the years.
I had one. I don't like talking about mine, but it was, you talk about a weird one. I was probably a step outside the blue line, I guess, Wisconsin, and backhanded the puck in to go for a change. Mm-hmm. And as I got to the bench, everybody started yelling. It went in somehow. I didn't even see it because I turned and went to the bench. I, to this day, don't know how that backhand wound up in the net, taking it from outside the blue line.
I scored on my own team, but it was soccer. I've done that many times when I switch from forward to defense, when you try to block a shot and you wind up. One went top corner. I stuck my foot out to block a shot, and I guess the keeper thought he had it, but I tipped this thing perfectly, and it went far corner high. It was a beautiful goal. even the team that got the goal, thanks to my mistake, they were high-fiving me, saying that was a good one.
Dan, I have to have you explain. So we had Rob on yesterday, and he said that he told you if you're going to be traveling, you have to start eating like a man. What does he mean by that?
Well, okay. Let's start with, you know, you've known Rob many more years personally than I have, all right? And it's usually when Rob says things like that, it's more of a reflection on his own self-evaluations. And I think Rob, you know, when he's checking out what you're wearing, when he's watching how you're eating and things like that, I think he's kind of looking back at himself thinking, I wonder if I should do it that way. So I think it's more of a deflection than it is you know, an immediate kind of framing of who you are. So
now you're in Anaheim, where we went with, I think it was John Vogel, because it was on one of those TV shows, the Slater's 50-50, which is 50% ground beef and 50% ground bacon. Now, I was back before. Did you go to that? Were you there?
Yeah, we sat out in the patio or something like that. I remember. Yes.
Remember, Rob had a triple and was mad he didn't order a bigger one, and I couldn't even get through the regular burger. And it was probably, I know for myself, as far as health, that was probably the worst thing I have ever eaten health wise. Yeah. It was good. It was great, but it was not healthy.
Well, one thing you do know, and I don't think anybody cares about this, but I'll say one thing I am known for is eating very slow. So I am definitely usually the last to finish at a table. So that's probably what Rob was referring to. lately, for some reason, I don't tend to be last, which is either a good or a bad thing. I don't know. But Anyway, well, we are playing the Ducks. I've maybe had duck once in my life. I don't know that I really cared for it, but.
Well, I should ask you a hockey question.
Sure.
I figured we'd get there eventually.
Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen. I mean, I was looking it up, and I didn't count the Montreal game because he went into it injured and had to leave. But the five games around it, he's made 130 saves out of 136 shots. That's 956 in those five starts. Is it simply that he's playing more, which is what he needs to do, is why he has, you know, gotten back to where he was last year, maybe even better? Or what is it, do you think, that has gotten him going again? And not that he was awful before, but really getting into this mindset where he has a 956 save percentage in five starts.
Yeah, I haven't taken, as you know, with the fact that he was out for a couple, then back in and playing so well, I haven't really had that conversation with him yet. But what I see, again, is what I saw at the end of last year, or when he really kind of got in the right track, you know, in the last portion of the season last year, where he just got in this kind of groove, where you sensed when he was in the net, there was nothing that was, how do I say this? There was nothing that looked urgent when he made a save, meaning that he was always in the right spot, looking around screens. He just seemed very calm and very composed. That doesn't mean there aren't moments in any individual game, as you well know, Paul, that he's got to make a scramble to make a save. But I think, you know, as Rob always, I think, fairly points out, and I worked with Jim Ralph in Toronto beforehand, he would always say the same thing. And Ralph, he played net in the game, that, you know, when you see a goalie who scrambles too much, it usually means they're out of position and they're not reading, or they're not anticipating as well as they could be. So I think that that's something that I'm not going to say he wasn't doing, as you pointed out earlier. It's not that he was bad, but perhaps there is a bit of a groove from playing more often. And I think the more games you play, when you are a bona fide number one goaltender, which I do believe he is, and you and I have talked about it many times, I've always feared that this team might give up on him. Given the fact that he's had great success at every level, at eventually, when he gets to that point, he's really good. And I think we're seeing now in the last game, even though there weren't a ton of shots, I think at one point I said, he just looks really sharp tonight. And by that I meant, you know, every save was, if it means anything, but every save was crisp, every save was clean. He was in the right spot. It was a good glove save. It wasn't a juggle glove save. It was looking around the screen. It was, and there was one save too where, you know, many times, especially the big goaltenders, but every goaltender, when they kind of trap the puck underneath their arm and they're not sure if they've got it or not. And I did mention to Rob on the call that, you know, he's not even looking like he's unsure. He's sure that he has that puck between the arm and his upper body. Whereas in the past, you know, he'd look behind him and wonder if he had it. So I don't know if that means a hill of beans to anything, but I think for where his mindset is at, Paul, is, you know, I think that's why he's kind of in this bit of run. And I give him credit post-game the other night after L.A. He gave credit to the guys in front of him, too, that obviously it's certainly more than I've seen since I've been here, which is, you know, 12 years or so now, the commitment to blocking shots in regular season games, you know, 20 games in, is extremely evident compared to other seasons that I've watched his team. And that helps a lot, too, for him. And they're blocking the right way. They seem, obviously, Malisayan the other night, it hurt a lot, but he came back, so... that's helping too. I think his confidence, he knows he's got the group that are battling for him as much as he's battling for them.
Dan, four block shots in that last 6-on-5, four of them, two of them by Cousins. I mean, that just kind of illustrates what you're talking about.
Yeah, it just feels, you know, a lot of goaltenders, I'm sure, feel, especially in Buffalo over the years, because, you know, even go back to Linus Ullmark when he was just trying to figure himself out around the NHL level. And a lot of times we'll try to rush goaltenders to instant success. And Linus, too, was kind of flailing all over the place. And you'd watch him, you go, oh, my goodness, what is this guy doing right now? But I'm sure if we look back, and certainly mental memory reminds me of how many times he was facing odd man rushes, and the team in front of him just wasn't good enough defensively to even give him a chance to kind of figure things out without it, all the pressure of the game being on his shoulders. So I think the fact that this team is playing better in front of their net on most nights, every night there's always things that we can talk about that aren't going well, but there are more things going well in front of the net, especially when they're winning hockey games. And I think that's what Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen was referring to the other night. And I really feel that when a goaltender sees his guys fighting that much defensively in front of him, instead of just winging up the ice and not caring that, I guess not caring, but not making the proper effort to commitment and detail to get back and help him out on the defensive end, I think, you know, he feels, okay, we are a group here. These guys are fighting for me, and I'm going to fight as much for them. So if it means I got to look around the screen of three guys in front of the net, I'm going to make that extra effort to make sure I've got it, because I know these guys are making these blockouts for a reason. So I think it does matter to the mental mind, you know, the mental game for a goaltender.
Dan Dunleavy joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR from Anaheim as the Sabres get ready to face the Ducks, a 10 o'clock faceoff tonight here on the East Coast on WGR. Pre-game coverage coming your way at 9 o'clock. Dan, I want to ask you about this Ducks team, because I think they're a very similar team to the Sabres in the fact that there's a lot of young talent. They're working adamantly right now to try to get on this right track of winning and get themselves on a positive trajectory going into the next coming years here going forward. But maybe a little pressure on the team as they've had some of these pieces in place now for a year or two, and it just hasn't clicked for them yet. When you look at the roster, when you look at the makeup of the team, what do you make of the Ducks and just kind of looking ahead to tonight's matchup?
Yeah, sleep on them and you're going to lose. You bring up a good point. There's, you know, when you break down the difference between these teams, automatically you would say to yourself, well, the Sabres should beat Anaheim, and it's just kind of a reflex, you know, home reaction. But through 19 games, they have 18 points, and the Sabres coming in with team game 20, I believe it is tonight, they have 19 points. At home, the Ducks are a game under 500. The Sabres know what that's like. They've been that way for a number of years, but now they're a game over at home. On the road, the Ducks have been good, where the Sabres are hoping to get back to a, you know, 500 record of 4-4-1 if they get a win tonight. So this is a young team that, yes, there are some players that are underachieving, Zegras being the first one that will come to your mind, but there are other players that are stepping into the lineup that perhaps people haven't played a lot of attention to. You know, and for me, I just watched the last two games here because we've had the day off out in Anaheim, so I scouted the last couple of games. And Olin Zellweger's a guy who, for a guy who's still extremely young, is a very impressive hockey player. And they've got a lineup here that you mentioned pressure. I'd take the pressure playing hockey in Anaheim any day if you're talking about the National Hockey League. There's pressure from within. There's pressure from the GM and the coach and your former teammates. I get it. But it's not like you're walking around Buffalo or Toronto or a hockey market where they're the lead story every day. So the pressure really is on themselves to develop the proper way, and I think they've done that. So I look at their group, and again, I'll say it again, I think if you want to sleep on this team, you're going to find yourself in trouble, because there's a bunch of guys who are very young. Some of them, Sam Colangelo, just a game into this season. He just made his season debut the other night. They're just guys you got to be careful of. Ryan Strome's a veteran who's got 18 games. I know 9 points isn't a lot, but he's got 4 goals. Troy Terry, another guy that can, if you're sleeping on him, he can beat you too. So Menchikov's a guy, not a ton of points, but boy, he's getting first pair minutes on the defensive end of things. I mentioned that they've just got some young D guys here that are, you know, to me, they're pretty impressive. And you're right, they're not a team you expect is going to rocket to the top of a division anytime soon. But right now, Greg Cronin's got these guys in a nice little stretch. So, yeah, I'd be careful of this one.
Guys, could I be the rebel of this group? I'm sorry. I know the NHL counts Czechia as a home game. I am not going to count that loss as a home game. I'm just not.
Nah, don't.
So the Sabres are actually 6-4 at home.
Yeah.
Now the NHL says
better.
The NHL says they're 6-5, but I'm going to be the rebel here, and I am not counting a game in Czechia as a home game. So I'm going
to
make it sound even better.
Paul.
They're 6-4 at home in my mind.
Yeah. And listen, here's the other thing too. If you want to talk to me, when, you know, I think a good question would be, not to take over my own interview here, but when the Sabres are going to have a good night, you know, generally what happens in the game, and we've seen it this year, and it's a good start to a period. And I think Jason Zucker mentioned it post game the other night in LA, they had a really good first period against the Kings. They were doing everything you need to do. And you thought, okay, here comes that Kings game again. Let's hope it doesn't fall apart in the third period. Then the start of the second period comes along, and I remember looking at Rob in our first break, and I thought, uh-oh, here it goes again. They just couldn't get it. You know, the Kings are all over them. The Sabres just couldn't complete passes to set anything up going the other way. But they stuck with it. And to me, the reason they were able to stick with it is because they started the game playing that way. If they hadn't started the game playing that way, I think they might not have found their way to that victory. But they started correctly. And the other thing for this group that we've seen far too often, and I'm sure every team says it, but if the Sabres can just not take consecutive penalties that are based on bad positioning, or you're behind your man and you're reaching in, or it's a late hit or whatever it is when the puck is already beyond you, and putting your team in that kind of peril, meaning killing another penalty and stopping this 5-on-5 play, which you've actually been pretty good at, you know, in specific games, then just stay out of the box. If you're behind a guy and you need some help, call for help. But don't start taking penalties when you're behind the play because you weren't moving your feet or whatever the reasons are. So, you know, to me, that's if the Sabres tonight, for example, if they have a first 10 minutes that are really good and they're doing everything they need to do and they're hemming the Ducks in, I think they're good. The Ducks can push back all they want for a few minutes. But the Sabres, I think this is a group that says in the room on that given game day, guys, we just did it in the first period. Let's just get back to that. It's not like we have to find it from three games ago.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, too, that I called it a gutty win because they didn't mind going into the third period at 0-0. They understood that playing the Kings, sometimes that happens. A couple of years ago at home, that happened. And Buffalo, I think, scored four goals in the third period to win 4-0. So they stuck with it. They had a good first period. Goaltender played, Rittich played very well against them. They had some good opportunities. You mentioned the penalties. That's why they had three shots on goal in the second period, because they basically killed four penalties. They had one that carried over, but a lot of that time was from the, you know, or a little, there was a little time in the first period, most of it in the second. Yeah. And they spent killing penalties, but I just liked the fact there wasn't a panic because they hadn't scored. They got through the penalty kills. They killed those penalties very well. And they're like, all right, we're fine. It's 0-0 going into third. We're fine. We got a power play to start off the third period. Let's go. And that's what I liked about it. I just thought it was a gutty win.
Yeah, and I reflect back to a couple years ago when this young group kind of, you saw their potential, right, when they missed it by a point. It wouldn't matter that year, and you guys both remember this, it wouldn't matter if they got down 2-0 because they were in a groove of playing a game a certain way. Now, it was a wide-open game, and they were going for it, but they knew when everyone was healthy, and you know, you could almost say the same with this team. When Tage is in and healthy every night, when you're not wondering if Alex is in or out every night, and when you've got Greenway back in the lineup and healthy on every given night, this team can score goals, because I still believe that there are some guys out here that are just... they're too good of goal scorers. Whatever the reason that Jack Quinn's only got one so far this year, I thought he was better last game. I still think Dylan Cousins, with only three goals, I think he's doing a lot of things right, and I think he's going to better areas to get goals, but I'm not seeing him stuck on 10 goals for the year. So at some point, the law of averages, for those that play stats, for these guys is going to see them increase their offensive production. But I love your point, because it's the familiarity with what, and everyone calls it an identity. The Sabres, if they have an identity under Lindy Ruff this year that he's tried to instill in them, is, look, trust me, if we play this way every night, even if it's a 1-0 game or a 6-5 game, or like that one we saw last night between Tampa and Columbus, you're in the game. The minute you stray from that, a Philadelphia Flyer game breaks out, or the Columbus game breaks out. But if you just do this, and stop trying to put on a show every time, or stop trying to make that fancy pass. It does work for you sometimes, but again, the percentages will tell you the shot was better there than the pass. Just trust that, and we're going to be fine. So I think this team is starting to figure it out. They're talking about it after every game. If they can do it in back-to-back fashions here tonight, meaning off of the Kings game, you know, you'd almost like it to be another close one where they do it again, and then they really prove to themselves, hey, okay, we're good. We're actually pretty good at this. You need goaltending to do it, but we're actually pretty good at this. It would be good for the team, I think.
Brayden, just let me say, the Sabres are 13th in the league in goal scoring at 3.21, which is better than the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's better than the Edmonton Oilers. So, You know, that's not – I think people might be surprised to hear that, that the Sabres are 13th at 3.21 goals per game.
Yeah, just got to keep scoring, baby. That's all you got to do. Just keep scoring. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy tomorrow's game against San Jose, and we'll talk again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Dan Dunleavy joining us on the Wester Hotline. Paul, I'm going to call you Howard Simon because we are extremely late for the break. I throw the blame entirely on you. So when we come back, we'll wrap up the show and then move along for Derek and Zach coming up next at 1 o'clock here on WGR. All right, Paul, we don't have much time before Derek continues to stare me down here, but I have a couple quick thoughts. They're both related with this upcoming weekend. The Sharks and the Ducks are two of the lowest teams in the NHL at generating chances when they have the puck on their stick. So all I'm going to say is Sabres cannot let them capitalize on those chances that they do generate, and the Sabres have to do a better job this weekend of capitalizing themselves on the chances they do generate, because they're one of the better teams at generating chances, but they have to get the puck in the back of the net.
Problem is they very easily could get goalied in this game because Dostal is a very good goaltender, has a .924 save percentage in 13 games, so they got to get traffic around him.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, thanks, Paul, for the past 2 days, and we'll talk again soon, I'm sure. Next time they could give us more than an hour, right?
But they won't. But we can just keep going. That keeps Derek off the air. So, you know, then he doesn't have to.
Very good. Well, thanks, Paul. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
All right.
All right. Paul Hamilton, thanks again for him from joining me. Thanks again to Dan Dunleavy for joining us earlier today, and also Rob Ray for joining us yesterday. Those interviews will be available for you on demand on our website, WGR550.com. Up next, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Zach's jumping back on the air again. They'll be with you for the next 2 hours before Shope and Bulldog take over at 3 o'clock right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.